So you had to be there in Denver to see the phones blow up. Literally, they stopped working. We had so many calls. There were four of us there answering calls, and all it was is they had a little runner on their regular news, job line 9, call in, jobs for disabled. So we actually had a lot of ticket holders call in. And we had, of course, people who aren't receiving any kind of disability call in, but they had a disability, so we were able to refer them to resources. That made me feel really good about that, and we really reached out. But when those phones blew up and people couldn't get through to us anymore, all of a sudden there are all these reporters running around with people's names and phone numbers of people who needed help. And so I'll tell you what, we created quite the awareness in that 9 News newsroom. I'm sure they now are very aware of how many people out there with disabilities need help, and they also want to get back to work. Next slide, please. So our niche is work from home, and I sent the flyer around you should have received one, or if you want to see more, you can go to our website. So basically, just so you know, our typical requirements, they have to type 25 words per minute. They have to be able to speak and hear clearly. Right now, none of our employers is able to accommodate JAWS. None of our employers have chat-only positions. We're working with them. We're hoping to have that happen one day, but right now we just don't. They have to have a quiet home office, a computer with a minimum of 1 gigahertz processor, 1 gig RAM. They have to have high-speed internet. We are going to ask applicants questions about background checks and credit checks because they do require them, most of our employers, not all of them.
Excuse me, Paula.
Yes.
We're having trouble hearing you. Did you change positions or something? It sounds like you got further away.
Is this better?
A little bit.
Uh-oh. No, I didn't change positions at all.
Yeah, that sounds better. Yeah.
Okay, I'm sorry. So our typical work-from-home positions, they're typically call center positions. We have part-time and full-time availability. They usually have to be available to work on the weekends. Most of the jobs involve answering incoming calls, and they may be answering questions about a cable bill or cable service or cell phone support, order taking, reservations, tech support, banking, financial, insurance. So these are the jobs that were going out to the Philippines and to India that have come back, and our people with disabilities are filling them. We're also seeing more and more RNs, QA positions, case management. I just found one that's part-time, but usually they're full-time, and that's been our biggest challenge for that. We are helping with some medical billing type of work-at-home jobs. But, again, they have to have experience, not just schooling. And then, of course, we do see some sales, some outbound and some inbound. Now, we are always looking for the W-2 positions because we want to get paid. Next slide, please. So we have our niche, but this presentation, I'm doing it because I want the program to be successful. I'm sharing our information because if there's something that we do that can help you become more successful, that's going to help the program. And I need the program to be a success. I need everybody to succeed because the more people know about it, the more successful we are. Well, I'll probably get more applicants, and it'll all be great. And thanks to the flexibility of this Ticket to Work program, we're able to have a niche. It used to be when I used to get voc rehab referrals for placement, you know, you pretty much have to take everybody they send you, and you can't focus on one specific niche. But with the ticket program, it's left wide open, and there's so many niches out there. I wish there were 10 of me that we could do them all, but I think I'm busy enough, and I'd like somebody else to grab it. So think about it. Do you specialize in security guards, transportation, and retail niche? How about a hospitality niche? So get yourself a niche. It can be done. Think volume. Think about how I talked about how you talk with employers. They like volume. And promote your niche, and let's help each other out. We can start referring ticket holders to you. Next slide. So the bottom line is we all need to get paid, and if you refer somebody to me, if I refer somebody to you, are you wondering how we're going to split the ticket? Well, Maximus, they have that solved. So if the ticket holder is a good match for another EN or for us, I ask that you refer the ticket holder to our website if it's for work from home, because that's the only way we accept applications. We've got to test their skills. We're going to screen them like we'd screen anybody else. If we think they're going to make it, then we will ask them to reassign the ticket to us. If they don't make it, then we won't take their ticket. If you send me an email that you referred a ticket holder, I can tell you why we couldn't take somebody if we don't, so you know, or we can tell you if we did take them. So the ticket holder reassigns a ticket. We get the ticket client back to work, or you do, submit the payment request, and then Maximus does their thing. They have a system for split payments, and so they will ask us for our service records and their, you know, and the other EN service records and come up with a fair split. And you know, if more people start doing the niche thing, maybe Maximus can come up with something that's real clear for these niches to speed things up, because I'm hoping to see more and more of that. Next slide. So anyhow, once the person goes to work, at least we all earn something. Now, VR, I know that you guys have got ticket holders that would want and need work from home that you're not able to get into these jobs. We do have some placement agreements with Florida, Wisconsin, Texas, and we're looking for other state agreements and referrals. We want to be able to help people get back to work, and we've got the employer connections. And basically, it's a win-win-win for everybody. We both get placements. We keep our employer happy by the volume, and the clients, you know, most importantly, get hired. Next slide, please. So we're also starting to get into the Partnership Plus. One of the things I'm real proud of is our long-term retention and assistance program, which I'll be talking about in a little bit. But, you know, clients need ongoing support. Once VRs close the case, we know it'll stop the revolving door. We know that you can maximize cost reimbursement if we can help you get their pay stubs, or at least keep them working and let you know that they're still working. And ticket holders themselves get support. It's because just when they go back to work, that doesn't mean that their support needs stop. They might think they do, but they really don't. So next slide, please. So being part of My Employment Options, again, is much more than just getting a job. They might start going to work and then they need help with it. Job accommodations, we're there. They may have issues on the job. Their counselor can talk to them. They may be having problems with their disability now that they're working, and we can try to counsel them on that. And we can refer them to community resources for things that they need or want. I'm trying to up some of the other kinds of services, like referring people to some of these house buying programs, and so I'm always looking for new programs that we can help our working clients, you know, attain a better quality of life and have nice things, like, you know, have a house. So next slide, please. We do have a staff member, Teresa Neer, who is a provisionally certified work incentive counselor, and she stays quite busy providing benefit counseling to our clients. We try to let our clients know before they hit the end of that 9 months. We try to prepare them for what's next. The benefits counseling's huge. She stays real busy. And all of our counselors have really good relationships with our clients, or we try to keep them having good relationships. We try to make it a little bit more than just getting a job, making them understand we're on your side. We want you to have a better life. And I'll tell you, I think partially because so many of my staff have disabilities themselves, my staff is just amazing. They are always willing to help those people in need. Next slide. So how do you get people to stay in touch when they don't really want to stay in touch, when they don't think they need you anymore? Well, I looked at, well, what do people like? And they like birthday cards. They like it when we send them a sympathy card if we know somebody's, you know, passed, or we send them disability news, like the WOTC tax credit was reinstated, or things that are relevant to them. We have job fairs that if they're looking for career advancement. And then I have my famous monthly raffle where for every pay stub that a client sends us, they get a raffle ticket. And I draw for some prizes every month and videotape it. And somebody wins a $100 Visa gift card, and then I usually give a few other prizes. And if they don't win that monthly raffle, well, they still get another chance to win because now we have a new client rewards program where for every pay stub they send in, they get a raffle ticket. And then if they save up the raffle tickets, they can trade them in for prizes. And I think if you get 35 raffle tickets, you can trade it in for a new laptop. Or I have some cash prizes. So I like to try to think that maybe that's keeping one or two people working, the fact that, oh, I just need one or two more raffle tickets and then I can get a laptop. So that's why we do that. We want to make it fun for them to stay involved. And I think it's working. We had 450 pay stubs sent in last month. That's amazing. It's just wonderful. We have contests. People can be our success story of the month. And I do everything I can just to try to make it fun and add value to our ticket holders once they're working, because we want to keep them working. That's how we make our money. So to finalize it, the next slide, success, our success is basically a positive practical job placement methodology. I've got great staff who go the extra mile. I have amazing relationships with employers who actually look forward to talking with us and getting our referrals. I know our niche, and we screen for our niche. I reach out to other ENs and VRs in the disability communities to try to get people who are appropriate for us to our doors. And then Social Security and Maximus do their part to keep the intent of the program, which is to allow persons on SSI and SSDI who want to try to return to work the ability to access and choose from a variety of vendors that can provide the specific employment supports and services that they need. And without the Ticket to Work program, we couldn't be doing this. So I just want to thank again all our fantastic ticket partners who make this possible. And let's continue to make a difference in people's lives through this Ticket to Work program. And the next slide, if you want to contact us, need more information, there's our contact information. Sign up for our Facebook. You'll get to see everything we do. Thank you very much.
Oh, Paula, thank you very much. I'm sure you all appreciated that presentation. It was chock full of information that I'm sure will be helpful. I hope it stimulated a lot of ideas. For the sake of time, we're not going to be able to take live questions right now from Paula, but we would like to be able to accommodate your questions. Paula, how do you want us to handle this? We've been talking a little about scheduling another call because we have agenda items that we're going to need to address. I don't know if you want to come on that call and be available for questions, if you want us to take questions and forward them to you and provide responses for the minutes, or just how you would like to handle the questions that might come your way.
Well, either one would be fine.
Okay.
Hi, Desiree. This is Felix. We can probably work with Paul and Lori in the post conference after this call, and then move forward with the other agenda topics, I guess.
Okay. So the live session closes down. Felix, if people want to give us questions to the awesome, how do you want to do that? If they want to give questions after we close down the live session.
If you want to submit any more questions about the presentation you just heard, email enoperations@yourtickettowork.com, and we will collect those questions and send them on over to the Employment Options folks.
Okay. Can we extend the invitation, Felix, for them to also send any other questions they had that they wanted to ask today that they may not have had a chance to ask?
Absolutely. Or there is still time. We've got about a little over 5-6 minutes. They can still put questions into the chat feature as well, or email that same address. Yes.
Yes. Okay. There was one question that didn't get answered on the chat session for you, Paula. Someone had asked concerning your the percentage of placement that you showed. They said, is the percentage placed? Does that represent those who finished the program and completed all of the outcome payments?
The successful placements are the people that we received at least one outcome or one milestone payment on.
Okay.
The far column on the right was the amount of people who have actually finished the program.
Okay, good. Okay. Thank you. We're going to try to get if we can go over 5 minutes or so, we're going to try to get this discussion on suitability in and see what more we might be able to mention. So Cindy Ott will give a few words about suitability.
Good afternoon. This is Cindy Ott with our EN suitability team. I just have a few things I wanted to touch upon that perhaps can help you and myself in processing your suitability application. One thing you can do is access the helpful hints. I believe it is on the Your Ticket to Work site, but it's a little vary, but we're trying to get that on the main Your Ticket to Work homepage. If you do not have it or would like to have the helpful hints, just shoot me an email to ensuitability@ssa.gov. And I'll be more than happy to forward that to you. A lot of folks will send an email saying, how do we get started with suitability? The main thing is, the first step is to submit a cover sheet with the required information, which is going to be the applicant's name, the date of birth, the Social Security number, and place of birth, so forth. You can also find that on my helpful hints. All suitability questions, sometimes folks get myself and Cindy Barcells on our contract side mixed up, which can delay your response time for suitability questions. So all suitability questions need to come in on the ensuitability@ssa.gov, which will allow me, to provide quicker customer service to you. I also ask that you allow 48 hours for me to respond to you. Because I am one person working the whole suitability mailbox, and at times it can be overwhelming dealing with over hundreds of people in email. So please be patient with me. I will get to you. I'm not ignoring you. I also wanted to let you know that I have about 30 ENs sitting on my desk with missing or incomplete paperwork. This is a concern, because many of you shoot an email saying, you know what, I haven't heard from my suitability I sent in. Is my applicant cleared? No, they're not, because I don't have your full information. Please, please, please be sure to send a complete packet. If you have 10 people that need cleared and you're waiting on Joe Smith that's holding up the party, don't wait for Joe to complete his work. Send everyone else that you have complete in, so at least those 9 others can, perhaps work. another issue is the eQuip. The eQuip invite goes out to the signatory authority anywhere from 7 to 14 days after your cover sheet. Just depends on our workload. You need to notify your signatory authority or have them, you know, keep an eye out. You have about 7 to 15 days to log into that eQuip link. It's time sensitive. After day 15, that link is terminated. You can no longer access it. So it's very important to jump right on that link and you know, get that form filled out complete. And print out your eQuip signature pages. Once you submit to the requesting agency, you can no longer access your eQuip application. So please make sure you print them out and sign all documents. That is very important. This will also speed up your process of having your suitability complete, and rather than you know us chasing you down and having to ask who your supervisor is and so forth, it delays the process. So that's pretty much all I have that stands out for me. Thank you.
Thank you, Cindy. Felix, you can go ahead with the ticket termination alert reminder.
Thank you, and I have a couple other reminders after that, but I will try to move through them quickly. The first is I wanted to let ENs know and perhaps remind you that there's a mechanism on the secure provider portal that allows you, the EN, to be alerted when one of the ticket holders that's assigned to you, their ticket has been terminated. And that might happen for a variety of different reasons. But if you look at your assignment unassignment report in the portal, there's a column there that lists the ticket termination date. And if applicable, you'll find the date of ticket termination there, along with the date that it was assigned to you, the date that it might have been unassigned, et cetera. So I wanted to let you all know to look there, and you can see whether or not a ticket that's assigned to you has been terminated. Reasons that a ticket might be terminated is if an EN has received the final outcome payment, or if the ticket holder is determined no longer to have a disability for some reason. And I wanted to give you a brief reminder of some of the automated gov delivery messages and announcements that have come out recently. There have been, of course, general announcements about the all EN and all VR calls, the ticket training Tuesdays, and the effective practices calls. I did want to draw your attention to the fact that our all EN payments call, which is always on the last or the fourth Tuesday of a month, we've moved that instead of being 1 to 2 o'clock Eastern, those calls will now take place from 3 to 4 p.m. Eastern, and there will not be a Ticket Training Tuesdays call on those days at 1. So on the fourth Tuesday of each month, we'll have the all EN payments call that will take place at 3 o'clock Eastern. Technical bulletins this recently include on April 18th, we sent out a message about some of our system delays that had an impact, and most of those have been addressed already. And there was also a reminder about personally identifiable information, or PII. And I just want to state again that any emails that you send, whether it's to us at the operations support manager or even to other colleagues you might have, any emails you send where you are including some piece, any piece of what's considered PII, and that is, of course, a beneficiary's name, Social Security number, but also their address, phone number. You can't even send one piece of that PII. So you cannot send an email with a beneficiary's name in it. You cannot send an email with the beneficiary's social, of course, nor can you send their phone number in an email. If you do need to submit that information electronically, you need to you can submit it through the portal. You can send us a fax, or you can send an encrypted email where you create an attachment in some sort of a document that you then encrypt and password protect, and then send that in to us. And then the password that you use ought to be your employment network's PIN number, the same number you use on our IVR telephone system. That way we'll know what password to use in order to go ahead and open your attachment. You cannot even send initials in an email. That is considered part of the name and is therefore a PII violation. So we wanted to bring that up again and just make sure that you all were aware what you can't send in an email. And then finally, some other announcements that were distributed were related to the Next Wise webinar. The registration is open. The next webinar will take place on May 22nd. There is a another success story you can see on the BASS website for Rob McLean. That message was sent out April 12th. And the next APSE spring webinar is going to take place May 9th, and that was posted to our site April 10th. And Mark, I'll go over to you.
Okay. Thank you. I'm going to do this quickly for the sake of time. If you have questions, submit them to Maximus, and I'll be happy to answer them. I have a review, an update, and then some new news, and it's all kind of one thing. And I think I saw some confusion about the performance indicators and the report card. Review. We're using this year, because we have new performance indicators, to collect data and to validate those performance indicators. We have just started that process. It's going to take some time. And until that is concluded, we don't know if these are going to be useful to us or to anybody. So, repeat something I think I said in February. We will not be taking any actions against employment networks this year based on these performance indicators. Obviously, everybody except me, apparently, that also means we won't be including information about the performance indicators on what is currently called the report card on the BASS website. So let me just clarify that, because I know I confused everybody. We will not take any action or show the information about the performance indicators on the report card. The report card is changing also dramatically. We've looked at it a lot. A lot of good work went into that, putting the information up there. It just seemed to us that there was just way too much information for the average beneficiary to use in a good way. We just concluded that the average beneficiary, again, could look at that and say, okay, and then move on to something that doesn't have all the colors and graphs and shapes and things. So I'm going to send out in the next couple of days a revision to this document, which also is not called a report card anymore, because we think it's going to be used in a slightly different way. We're calling it an employment network profile. And you'll see it's a much cleaner document. We'll have some stuff in the APOR, some information from the information sheet you send in with the BPA, possibly some information from the customer satisfaction survey if enough of your beneficiaries responded, enough of your clients responded to that, and then some contact information, and that's it. I'll send that out in the next couple of days, I hope, and then we'll talk about that again, I hope, on the next EN call, and I expect the report card to be converted to this new form of EM profile sometime in the second half of June. Thank you.
Okay. Did we cover everything we needed to cover?
No.
Oh, what do we have? Regina?
Hi, this is Regina Bowden. I work as the Quality Assurance Manager for the Ticket Program. And I actually have some good news for you today, and this is in reference to a new process for submitting the IWP. And shortly, you'll be receiving a notice announcing that most ENs will no longer be required to submit an IWP with their ticket assignment request. I'm just giving you a heads up, and I'm going to go over some of the details, but again, you'll receive the notice very shortly. I'm sure that if I could hear everyone, there would be loud clapping and cheering that you don't have to send in the IWPs. But we are actually making these changes to simplify the ticket assignment process. This will allow the tickets to be assigned more quickly, and it will enable the ENs to begin providing the service to the beneficiaries, of course, with minimal delay. There are no changes in the requirements for preparing the IWPs in partnership with the beneficiaries. In other words, everything preparing the IWPs remains the same. But rather than submitting the IWPs to the Operations Support Manager, or OSM, the ENs will keep their signed IWPs on file, and then OSM will perform the random audits of these IWPs as part of the review process. And then they will contact the EN, and the ENs will be required to provide the selected IWPs to the OSM for the review. This new procedure will apply to all ENs that already have tickets assigned and previously have had one or more of their IWTs reviewed by the OSM as part of the ticket assignment process. ENs that have never assigned a ticket will be required to go through a probationary period, during which time they will submit IWTs to the OSM along with their ticket assignment request. And again, all of this will be spelled out in a bulletin that we'll be sending you shortly, and it will also have the effective date, and the bulletin will tell you about the training. We will provide these details about this new process in the near future. So again, in a nutshell, you won't have to send in the IWPs for the ticket assignment. You'll keep those IWPs on file, and then when we conduct the audit, we'll request the IWPs at that time. And that's it.
We know you're celebrating. Yeah. Okay. I think we actually made it through the entire agenda, and we thank you all for your patience. This was a good call. We did get questions in the chat room. Many of them have been answered. There may have been a couple that didn't get answered, but we will make sure that you get all the answers in the notes. And if we need to have follow-up discussion on anything here, I'm sure we'll accommodate that on the next call. So thank you all, and have a wonderful day. Operator?
This concludes today's conference call. You may now disconnect.